Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Father, as we come before you this morning, we thank you for this day that you've given us, Lord, an opportunity to come into your house and to worship and praise you. Father, as we have gathered today to worship and praise you, we pray, Father, that our worship would please you, Father. And Lord, we pray today that we have opened our hearts to be receptive to your word today, Father. Lord, as you will speak to each one of us, Father, every one of us has a need. And Father, we know that you can fulfill that need. So Father, we pray and we ask today that we will be receptive to you. And Father, that we will hear what you are telling each one of us. And Father, I pray for Brother Cal this morning, Lord, as he comes and breaks the bread of life. Father, I pray the message that you have given him, Lord, would be one that would burn in our hearts, Father. It would be one that we could not set aside, but we'd have to act upon it, Father. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. It's good to be here today. And at my stage of the game, it's good to be anywhere. But I'd rather be here than anywhere. I love you guys. Thank you for your prayers this week. And how do people make it without a church family? And if you don't have a church family, if you don't have a church home, I pray that God would move on your heart today to be a part of something here that God's doing. We'd love to have you. I'd love to be your pastor. And and now, what you're looking at is not the normal decor here in our worship center, in our sanctuary. But we are enjoying Bible school, Vacation Bible School, every Wednesday in June. So if you have a small child, K through fifth grade, I believe it is, bring that child on. 6 to 8 o'clock, I think is the times. You can bring them in at 5:30. But if your child is not enrolled or registered yet for Vacation Bible School, we'd love to have your child or your grandchild. Bring them on. They had a great start this past Wednesday night. And what the Lord has kind of led me to do in this sermon series that we're in, The Truth About Truth, our children are going to be digging up spiritual truths, great truths about God, each and every Wednesday. And so I felt like it would behoove all of us to dig up a little doctrinal truth together. And so every Sunday before the Wednesday, I'm going to be preaching on the doctrinal truth that the kids are looking at. Then we can all sit around the dinner table and talk about the Scriptures. Wouldn't that be a novel thought? This morning, this coming Wednesday night, the kids are looking at the power of God, and specifically they're looking at the healing of a man who'd been blind since birth in John chapter 9. And so this morning I want to talk to you about the truth about miracles, the power of God. And I don't know. I'm always, Andrew, dating myself, I guess. But that's what happens when you get in your 60s and your 70s and your 80s. But I was in my dad's den the winter of 1980. And we were both watching the hockey game that was later and is now known as the Miracle on Ice between the Russians and the United States. Now, our hockey team for the U.S. was nothing more than a ragtag bunch of college hockey players and amateurs. And we were up against the Russians, who were, by all matters, professional hockey players. And they never lost, and we'd never beaten them. But as Providence would have it, we whipped the Russians that night in the semifinal round and went on to win the gold medal. I'll never forget it. And Dad and I were sitting there watching this miracle take place, and Al Michaels, the color commentator, six seconds before the end of the game, shouted, "Do you believe in miracles?" And when the time expired, he shouted, "Yes!" I've come here today to ask you all, do you believe in miracles? Yes. We're going to talk about the truth about miracles today. Now, miracles are under attack today. Did you know that? Yes. We live in a disbelieving, disappointing almost, questioning society where miracles are kind of looked down on. And, a miracle is a move of God. He initiates it. He orchestrates sometimes. And we call those things miracles that God chooses to do in and on His creation. And so miracles today, by and large, if the media will tell you and others, if science can't explain it, then it's not real. It's not a miracle. Well, you do know what science is, right? Science is the study of and the knowledge of the world and natural causes through experiments and observation. How many of y'all had biology and remember that definition? All right. Well, you can't study miracles through natural causes. Hello? And so science doesn't have a dog in the race when it comes to miracles. And so I want to ask you again, do you believe in miracles?
Yes.
We're going to look at the probability of miracles and the purpose of miracles this morning. And by God's grace, God's going to do a miracle here today. I pray that He does. I pray that way every Sunday. But if you're in the Bible, if you've got a Bible, if you have a tablet, if you have a phone, an iPhone, or whatever kind of Bible you have today, turn with me to John chapter 20, and I want to read verses 30 and 31. And when you find that, would you stand as we honor God's Word? John chapter 20, verse 30. "And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." Father, would you add your blessing this morning to the preaching and the teaching of your holy, authoritative word for our lives. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You know, if you believe in Genesis 1:1, you believe in miracles. The Bible says God spoke the world into existence. And I'm putting together a message called, "What's All the Monkey Business About?" from Genesis 1:1. We're going to get there in a couple of weeks, but some of y'all will get that next week, I guess. But anyways, so the probability of miracles, Verse 30 that we just read tells us that miracles are not only possible, they are probable. I mean, man, if you believe if you believe in Genesis 1:1, you believe in miracles. If you believe in God, you believe in miracles. Because He is a miracle-working, supernatural God. I agree with Genesis 18:14 and what the announcement that was made. You remember, God had told Abraham He was going to make a great nation out of him. Do y'all know how old Abraham was when his firstborn son was born, Isaac? Y'all know how old he was? 100. And girls, do you know how old Sarah was? 90. Woo! Say woo! And when Sarah heard the announcement, do you remember what she did? She laughed. And by the way, that's what the name Isaac means, laughter. And the announcement that came to her from the angelic announcement, or whoever you think that was in Genesis 18, 14, was simply this: is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for God? The word supernatural means above nature. Above nature. Stay with me now. The laws of nature. Y'all understand what I'm talking about there? The laws of nature? The laws of nature are subject to the great sovereign God of the universe. And hey, from time to time, God chooses to simply suspend or relax or break the laws of nature in order to perform a miracle. And anytime you see a great move of God, a miraculous supernatural move of God, He has chosen to do something above the laws of nature. Now, as I mentioned, miracles are not only possible, they are probable. And you see them all throughout Scripture. It's an amazing thing. Do you remember when Jesus showed up 4 days late at the tomb of Lazarus? How many days had Lazarus been dead?
Four.
And you remember Jesus walked up to the entrance of the tomb and He spoke to Lazarus. He said, "Lazarus, come forth." And what happened? A man who'd been dead 4 days came walking out of the tomb. Supernatural, above nature. Miraculous things happen when God decides to move on His creation. You remember the emancipation of Israel. Now, you weren't there, I know that, but you remember reading about how God delivered the Israelites from a land of slavery, from Egypt, and just a couple of days out, they wind up where? At the Red Sea. And who's in hot pursuit coming in behind them?
Pharaoh.
That's right, Pharaoh's army. And so what did God do? Supernaturally, He parted the waters of the Red Sea. And y'all, 2 million Israelites crossed over on dry ground. And then God drowned all the pagan soldiers, Pharaoh's army. Supernatural, miraculous moves of God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm testing y'all's Bible knowledge today. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The fiery furnace. They would not bow and they would not bend to King Nebuchadnezzar's statue. And because they would not bow and they would not bend, God decided they're not going to burn. And King Nebuchadnezzar had them thrown into this fiery furnace that was so hot, even the people that threw the 3 Hebrew boys in there, they burned up. That's how hot it was. But you know what? Those 3 came walking out of the fire and their hair wasn't even singed. They didn't even smell like smoke. Supernatural, above nature, miraculous things God does. You remember Daniel? Oh, I love that story. He said, "Man, I believe in God, therefore I believe in prayer." And Daniel, as was his holy habit and pattern, kept praying, even when a law had been passed that says you can't pray to your God. You got to pray to this God. Well, Daniel defied the law and went ahead and prayed. And what happened to him? He got thrown in a den of lions. Starving lions. Hungry lions. And what did God do? Supernaturally, above nature, He shut the mouths of those lions. And Daniel, he got the best night's rest in the kingdom that night of anybody. He slept between the lions. Miracles over. You remember when Jesus was walking through the pool of Bethesda? Remember reading about that? And there's a man laying there who'd been paralyzed for 38 years. And Jesus said, "You don't need to get in the pool. You need to let me just touch you." And He healed that man. of his paralysis. Miracles after miracles. You remember when Jesus came walking on the water in the midst of the storm? Remember that? Remember reading about that powerful, miraculous story? The wave walker came walking in the midst of a howling gale of a storm. Got in the boat with the disciples. They're scared to death. They think they're going to drown. And Jesus looked at the wind and the waves and said, "Shut up!" In the Greek language, that's what he said. Be muzzled. And what happened? The wind subsided and the waves calmed down. Supernatural, miraculous movements of God all throughout the Scriptures. You say, "Well, Pastor, does God still do miracles today?" Absolutely. Now, I've got so many I could tell you. I'm just going to give you two, okay? Diana and my two girls, I had just graduated from seminary, okay? And we were headed to our first full-time position as pastor. I'd pastored a part-time seminary church for 3 years in Louisville, but my first church called, and so we were getting ready to move. And just a couple of days before we were packing up and moving from Louisville down to Waynesboro, one of the members of our church called me, and her nephew had fallen three stories on a construction site through an elevator shaft, three floors, and hit the concrete pad in the bottom. And there was no hope that had been given to this boy. He was 21 years old. And his mama asked me, would I go and pray over him? And so I went to Jewish Hospital in Louisville. Great, great facility, by the way. And I walked into the trauma unit, and there's this boy hooked up to all kinds of stuff. His head's about this large. And the doctors had all said there is no hope, no way this boy is going to live. Just need to go ahead and pull everything off of him. And so I'd promised this boy's mama that I would pray for him. And so I grabbed his arm, which was about the size of my leg. I mean, he was in terrible shape. And I began to pray. And I said, "God, I don't always know what your will is. But your word says that you are all powerful and that you are able to touch anyone and heal anyone. And your word tells me that I'm supposed to pray for people to be healed. And I'm supposed to pray with faith. And so, God, would you touch this young man and astound the doctors and glorify yourself?" And while I was praying, y'all, I had my hand around his arm, and his arm grew strangely warm. When I first started praying, his arm was cold and clammy. And man, his arm warmed up. And be honest with you, I didn't think a whole lot about that, but I noticed it. And then I went out to the waiting room and I prayed over his mama. And y'all, after we'd moved and gotten down to Waynesboro, his mama called me 3.5 weeks later, and that was the day her son got up and walked out of the hospital. That's a miracle. And I could give you several more hospital stories where God gave a miracle. Let me give you one kind of in another direction. How many of y'all have heard of the evangelist David Ring? Let me see your hands way up here. Okay, now I'm going to give y'all some advice. You need to get out more often. If you've never heard of David Ring, this is a full-time evangelist. He's getting on up in years now, but this boy has cerebral palsy and fantastic testimony. So we had contracted with David to come and preach a crusade in Waynesboro, okay? And the whole town was excited about it. Because believe it or not, in Podunk Hollow, they'd all heard of David Ring, and we haven't. But anyways, David always gets up and says, I've got cerebral palsy. What's your problem? Are y'all awake today? Are y'all okay? And so on the day, and by the way, the high school had heard he was coming, and they said, Cal, you'll never be able to get everybody in the church. Why don't you host it down here at the football field? And that's what we did. And the night of the crusade, there was tornadic activity coming, huge thunderstorms. I mean, all day long. You saw it on, I'm watching, you know, Channel 2 and Channel 4 and Channel 5, and I didn't have a cell phone. I got rid of my cell phone when I got out of the hotel business back in 91 and 92. But everybody else seemed to have a cell phone, you know. And they kept showing me and calling me and saying, Cal, we better cancel this. We better call this thing off, da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, at 6:30, I get over to the football field, and we've already set everything up. Everything's ready. Got the sound system ready. Man, we'd built a platform for David to climb up and stand on while everybody is in the stands. And somebody, one of my deacons, came up to me and showed me his phone. And y'all, at 6:35, crusade starts at 7, Waynesboro was surrounded by red, yellow, and those white lightning strikes. And when 7 o'clock came, it was even worse because somebody else showed me what was going on. And God, what God had done, there's a little bitty circle, just one little area where the football field was. There was no lightning. There was no rain. There was no thunder. There was nothing. Everything was fine. And David got up and preached for an hour and a half. And as soon as he got in his car to head back to Nashville, guess what? All of hell broke loose. That was a miracle of God. And I wondered what God did that night, because we didn't have anybody come forward. There was 800 or 900 people there. And we didn't have anybody that I knew of get saved that night. Well, a year later, I'm counseling, doing some premarital counseling with a couple. And so I began with the spiritual side of marriage with couples. And so the girl that I was marrying, she was a member of our church. I knew she was born again. I knew she was saved. But this young man she was marrying, I had no clue about it. So I just, you know, I put the dog on him, you know. And so I began to ask him, I said, son, do you have a relationship with Christ? Have you been born again? Have you been saved? And he said, yes. I said, well, tell me about it. He said, oh, I was saved at the David Ring Crusade last year. God hollowed out that place so that one young man could come to faith in Christ. And that boy went on mission trips with me. He was at our first great men's conference with me, and he was killed in a motorcycle accident. I was so thankful that I didn't listen to other people, and we went ahead and hosted that crusade. God is a miracle working God. Amen? And so quickly, let's get to the purpose of miracles. The purpose of miracles. Now, we need to read verse 31 again. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. And did you see that word signs up there in verse 30? That's the word Simeon, which is plural, which means miracles always have a message. Miracles with a meaning. God never does a miracle without a reason. There's a purpose every time God does some type of miracle. Now, how do I say this nicely? There's a purpose in miracles. And by the way, there's a lot of disbelief and disproof and all kinds of garbage about miracles. And part of and there's a lot of my Baptist brothers and sisters who kind of, you know, start backing up when you start talking about the supernatural and miracles. And that's partly because of all the the fraud and the junk that goes along with some of this stuff with the, you know, blab it and grab it, heal it and feel it, name it and claim it bunch. You know, I don't believe in faith healers. I believe in a God who heals. And so what we Baptists have done is we're so scared of wildfire that we've settled for no fire at all. I want to tell you, God still does the miraculous. He still does. And there's three main purposes, overall purposes, every time God does a miracle. Are you ready? If you've got your notes, you ought to jot these down. John 11:4. Look at this with me. Just turn left in your Bible a couple of pages. John 11 and verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, John 11 verse 4. That's about 7 pages to the left from where we are. All right. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." So there's the first purpose in every miracle. God always gets the glory, not mankind. That's the purpose that God would... Why does God get the glory? Because He's the only one that can perform a miracle. And so if He's the one that initiates and orchestrates the miracle, who should get the praise and the honor and glory? God should. And if anyone else is getting the glory, you know it's not a miracle from God. Are you with me? All right. That's what we're talking about here in John chapter 11 and verse 4. God always gets the glory. Now, here's the second purpose in miracles. God, when miracles happen, they always, true miracles from God, they always validate the claims and identity of Jesus Christ. They always validate the claims and the identity of Jesus Christ. Isn't that what John's saying there? "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." John just records 7 miracles in his gospel. But all 7 miracles point to the fact that Jesus is who He said He was. That He is the Son of God. All 7 of them. And what that means is simply this. Because Jesus is God, because He still does miracles, He's able to meet the deepest needs of your life. Oh, come on, somebody smile. He's able to meet the deepest needs of your life. He's the answer to our disappointments. He's the answer to our doubts. He's the answer to our disabilities. He's the answer to our everything. He's the answer to darkness, and He's the answer to death. He's the answer to everything. Whatever your need is, Jesus can meet it because He's the wave walker. He's the miracle worker. That's what John's gospel is talking about. These miracles that John writes about, he said, "I could have written about hundreds of them, but I just gave you these 7 so that you can know that Jesus is who He said He was." How many of you know Jesus is who He said He was? And He did what He came here to do. Amen? And then thirdly, here's the third overall purpose. Miracles, true miracles of God, always advance the kingdom of God. They always advance kingdom work. The last part of verse 31 says, "And that believing you may have," say that word, life, true life in His name. Whenever God does a miracle, it's an act of benevolence. And someone usually always repents of their sin and trusts Christ. That always happens. Remember the David ring thing I told you? And so anytime you see a miracle, you know that disciples are being made. You know that the purposes of God are being accomplished. And that's a fabulous truth. And so when miracles happen, when God decides to move on His creation, Those miracles glorify God. They always validate the claims of Christ, and they advance the kingdom work of God. Adrian Rogers, my hero of heroes in the ministry. I wonder what Dr. Rogers would say about what's going on today. More importantly, what would Jesus say? But Dr. Rogers wrote a book called Believe in Miracles, but Trust in Jesus. You know, I think about when Jesus fed the 5,000. Actually, it was probably 15 to 20,000 because the 5,000 were men, and most men have, you know, a lot of men have wives and children. So Jesus probably fed close to 20,000 people there that day. And most of those folks believed in the miracles and they trusted in the miracles. When Jesus turned the water into wine, you remember what he told the disciples? He says, man, this isn't a publicity stunt. And he told the disciples, keep this under wraps. But many of these miracles, the majority of people trusted in the miracles rather than Jesus. And what needs to take place is rather than placing your trust in the miracles rather than the master, we need to move past the miracle and move on to Jesus. Because his purpose, and by the way, life, that's why Jesus came, so that we might have life. And the miracles point to that. And so if you've experienced a miracle, if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ and you've got an understanding of His power, you've got the greatest miracle that ever happens. Salvation is the greatest. How can God take an old hell-bound sinner like Cal Hampton, who is more interested in himself and the things that he wants to do and his hopes and aspirations, how can God take somebody like that and change his life, give him a new heart, place his spirit in him, and he's a completely different person because he has new life? I'll tell you how. Because God's a miracle-working God. Salvation's the greatest miracle that ever takes place. And I've come here today to tell you, if your life hasn't changed and you claim to have met Him and you're no different today than when you first met Him, you hadn't met the one I met. I'm not perfect. I've let the Lord down. But I want to tell you, when you look at my life, it's God. He has changed me, and he's not done with me yet. Amen? Amen? And some of you are here, and you've not experienced that power. I've come here today to tell you, trust in Jesus. Turn from your sin. By faith, give Him everything that you are to everything that He is, and He'll give you a brand new heart. And He'll give you life. Life. Life abundant and life eternal. That's the miracle that I'd love to see happen here today. Would you pray with me? Just bow your head. Everybody bow your head. Close your eyes. Let's just allow the Lord to work. Some of you here need a miracle. It may be a physical miracle, healing. It may be emotional healing. You need a miraculous touch from the Lord today. But first and foremost, I want to tell you, you need Jesus. And your greatest need is a spiritual need. Our sins separate us from Him. That's why Jesus left heaven and came to earth. He lived a perfect, sinless life, so that He could pay the sacrifice, the penalty for our sins. And my Bible tells me if you'd be willing to turn from a life of sin and surrender your life to Christ Jesus simply by calling on His name, a miracle can take place in your life today. But to preacher can't pray the prayer for you. You can't ride to heaven on your granny's coattails. You have to make that decision. And if God's pulling on your heart today, if you're under conviction about things, that's God. And He's calling you to come home. If you'd pray a prayer something like this, just something like this, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I need Your Son to make me right with You. And Father, forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me. All the days that I have left, I give every one of them to Jesus. I surrender all. Thank You for being the Lord of my life. Thank You for saving me right here where I sit today. If you prayed a prayer like that, God just gave you a miracle. He saved your soul. And the Holy Spirit has come to take up residence in your life. And you need to go vocal about that. You need to go public. And so we're going to ask you to do that here in just a minute. We want you to come. And I'll get some stuff in your hands to help you get started right in your new life with Christ. Or maybe you just need to come to the altar today. You're saved, but you need a miracle. You need for God to save some family members. You need for God to restore your health. You need for God to do something else. Let me tell you, He's not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and today. Father, this invitational time, this time of response is all Yours. Oh God, would You touch us today and know that we've been with the powerful, powerful God of the ages. Thank You for the Spirit of the Lord Jesus that's among us right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you need to make a decision for Christ, if you want to come pray, if you need for the Lord to bless you in some kind, we're just going to ask you to come and pray at an old-fashioned altar. If you prayed to receive Christ today, I'll be down here to greet you. Man, help you to get started right in your new life with Christ. Let's all stand. You come and you sing.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.